Hello, boys and girls. Welcome in to the Boys and Girl Podcast with Cowboys NFL Network reporter Jane Slater and NFL Network producer Bobby Belt. A Cowboys community with the inside scoop on the Dallas Cowboys. Now, coming straight to you from the Lone Star State, here's Jane and Bobby.
Well, that show intro isn't completely accurate today. We are without Jane Slater. Jane is taking some time off, but she will be back with us next week with a big name guest that I'll be telling you about here at the end of the show. It's just myself here today, but we got a couple of good guests to help us fill things out. We're going to be talking here in just a few minutes to Dallas Cowboys linebacker Jalen Smith. Talk to him a little bit about the pandemic and some of the changes on defense, as well as his expectations for himself and how he's getting ready for the season. He's also got this really great program that he's going to be putting on in Frisco in July called the Minority Entrepreneurship Institute. And it's really interesting stuff. You're going to want to hang around and hear what he has to say on that. And then following that, we're going to be talking with Joel Corey, a former NFL agent who now writes for CBS Sports on matters of contracts and the cap in the NFL. And he has a really fantastic article out this week analyzing Dak Prescott's contract negotiations and why, if he were involved in these negotiations on behalf of Dak Prescott, he wouldn't be caving on that fifth year either. I know that's been a big discussion point for a lot of people, but he's going to explain why that fifth year matters so much and also project what Dak Prescott's contract might look like. So we've got a jam-packed show for you today, kicking off here with Jalen Smith and then Joel Corey. Let's jump right into it. Joining us now is Dallas Cowboys Pro Bowl linebacker Jalen Smith. You can follow him on Twitter at TheJalenSmith, on Instagram at YOLO_Smith9, and you can even keep up with him on his website, JalenSmith.com. Jalen, how you doing?
Oh, I'm doing wonderful, man. Just pulling up at home from finishing a workout. How's everything going yourself?
Not bad, but, you know, I got to say, that's probably something that people are really curious about is these workouts and how those have been going just with everything with the pandemic. How have you been staying in shape and keeping things ready for yourself when the season finally comes back to normal a little bit?
Man, it's all about grind. It's all about grind. And just because, you know, temporarily, you know, due to COVID-19, we're not allowed into the facilities, you still got to get your work in. So guys are being creative with workouts at home. Myself, I got a Peloton. My cousin's an athletic trainer, so he's been getting myself and my brother right. There's a field like 2 minutes away from where I live, so that's where I'm driving home from right now, just finishing some field work, man.
Now, in terms of how your understanding is of how things are going to be handled in terms of when you guys maybe are going to be able to get back to the facility or how mini camp and OTAs are going to go, have they given you guys any sort of guidance on that, or is it still just kind of up in the air and you guys are wondering yourselves what's the next step?
Yeah, I mean, we really don't know, man. We really don't know what's going on. It's just, you know, for us, it's about following direction and understanding the circumstances, man. Everybody needs to stay safe right now. That's very important. But, you know, we love the game of football. We want to play. We want to be able to give the fans, you know, what they need, some entertainment and be able to go out there and play as one. So I have faith that everything will be fine. It's just taking it day by day with these virtual meetings.
And those virtual meetings, you know, those are going to be critically important this time around, because obviously there's a defense change this year. Rod Marinelli, Chris Richard no longer here. A lot of personnel changes, Mike Nolan coming into the fold. And we've heard different things about how you guys are going to be multiple this year, that it's not going to necessarily be the same sort of base 4-3 look, but it's not going to be fit into any particular box, that you guys are wanting to do a lot of different things. Do you have any sort of understanding of how maybe your role might change, or if you're going to get to do anything a little different this year, or do you think it's going to be pretty much the same for you, just with a different overall look for the rest of the unit?
Really just some added tools for myself, man, being able to showcase my versatility. You know, being able to run sideline to sideline, being able to, you know, rush the passer. You know, I'm just looking forward to be able to, you know, showcase all of my talents. These guys are putting everyone in the right position. So, you know, all I can be is thankful.
Now, while you've been in Dallas, your defensive overseers have been Rod Marinelli, who obviously was a big D-line guy, and Chris Richard, who was a secondary guy. Has it been beneficial, or are you excited that, you know, the guy that's coordinating the whole defense this time around is now a guy who specializes in your position, linebackers?
Oh, man. I actually experienced that in college where Brian Van Gorder was my defensive coordinator, but he specialized in, you know, in linebackers as well. Being a D coordinator, I think in like 2011 with the Atlanta Falcons, being a linebacker coach for the New York Jets. So I was able to really, really learn, you know, a lot about my position. You know, having a linebacker minded, deep defensive minded coach. So it's exciting, man, but it's all a blessing. You just got to soak it in.
Now, I know your football's obviously your main thing, what most people know you for, but I know you've got some off-the-field things that you're working on. Specifically, you're working on the MEI, which is the Minority Entrepreneurship Institute, and you've got a showcase coming up here in Dallas on July 10th. Has any of that changed for you with, you know, some of this outbreak, or are you guys anticipating full go? And I guess just talk a little bit about that event and what you're wanting to accomplish.
Man, the need is still out there. For me, I've always had a desire for entrepreneurship and business ownership. You know, giving me having 4 years in the of being a professional and just understanding all the access I've gained through relationships and networking and access to quality deal flow. I've always thought about, man, how can I help people that look like me get the same kind of resources? So just trying to help out the black and the brown and the Latinx community to close the economic and educational gap. That's why I started the Minority Entrepreneurship Institute. This year going to be giving out, going to be awarding over $500,000 to three winners in this venture pitch, which is July 10th. Minority owners, they need financial funding. They need strategic mentorship and helping them put together their infrastructures to be able to succeed and ultimately provide more jobs for other people in this world. That's how we can all grow together as a, you know, as a unit and as an entire economy. So it's really been dear to my heart. Like I said, I've committed over $2.5 million over the next decade to help close this gap, man. So I'm excited. It's going to be virtual because of the, you know, the pandemic. Sure. So, but it's still going to do some good justice.
Well, and because of the pandemic, have you noticed increased interest from people who, I mean, right now there are a lot of small businesses and entrepreneurs who have been hit hard. Are you noticing an increase in the last month or two of people who are interested in getting a chance to have access to these funds?
Yes. And it's all about applying, man. You can apply on my website, jalensmith.com/MEI. MEI also has a website, MEI Capital Fund. Just go in there, apply, tell us about your business. You know, give us a lot of information so we can do some due diligence and hopefully you can get on. That's what it's about, man. This pandemic has affected so many small businesses, you know, even some of the small businesses that I'm involved with. So just understanding that scope is just an extra added, you know, just me understanding that I'm doing the right thing for sure.
One of your hot boy brothers, DeMarcus Lawrence, I know he was speaking recently to Speak for Yourself, Marcellus Wiley and Jason Whitlock. And in that interview, he was talking about how things ended last year and said that he thought that there were things that the team was maybe worried about that caused them to be a little bit divided. And he didn't get into it other than that, just to say that he thought that was the case and that things were going to be better this year. I wouldn't ask you to extrapolate on his own thoughts. You know, DeMarcus is the one to speak for DeMarcus. But what would you say? Do you think that last year you guys had any sort of distraction or that you felt divided at any point?
No, I was just saying, man, it's all about execution. It's all about accomplishing the mission. And we didn't do that last year. Whether it be coach, whether it be player, I mean, at the end of the day, we're the guys out there playing. So I just think it's a new opportunity this year to define our, really develop our culture and understand who we are as a unit. And then from there, it's about execution, man. We got to go out there and play with the will to win. So I'm excited about that personally. And also as a team, for real, just being able to get it right.
Is that something that, especially with a new leadership, a new regime coming in, is that something that you, as somebody who was a captain and somebody who is looked at as a leader, is that something that you're taking that responsibility maybe even a little bit more seriously this year, knowing that, hey, there's going to need to be some, bridges built here between a new coaching staff and some of the players, and that you view yourself as somewhat of a vessel for that?
Yeah, man, absolutely. First year being a captain of America's team, being one of the captains, learned a lot. And it's all about growth, man. You don't get it right the first time around. It's you got to put in that work. And sometimes the best way to learn is through experience. So I'm preparing for this year. I'm preparing, for what we're about to endure. And just thankful for the opportunity, but I'm locked in.
And last question here for you. I know that, I know one of the unwritten rules, and sometimes written, spoken about, but I know one of the things that's said in the locker room is generally like, don't speak on a man's money. Don't talk about that. Let him handle his business. And so I wouldn't dare ask you to do that. But I know a lot of people are asking about, where Dak Prescott ranks around the league right now. You're a guy who sees him every day in practice. You've seen his growth on the field, and you see a number of the best quarterbacks in the league when you're out there during the season. Where would you say for yourself, just analyzing the game a little bit, where Dak Prescott falls for you in terms of some of the better quarterbacks in the league? What is it you think he does that makes him special?
I think Dak's, his tenacity is incredible. His leadership, the what he does for our team, just from a mental standpoint, you got to rock with him. You have to like him. It's just, he's a guy that's gonna give it his all. That's the one thing, stepping out on that field with a guy like Dak Prescott. Business is business. It's contract negotiation. It happens all the time. They're gonna get the deal done. So. It's just all about when.
Absolutely. Now you can keep up with Jalen Smith, as I said, lots of places. He permeates the internet. You can find him on Twitter at @TheJalenSmith, Instagram at @YOLO_Smith9, and then of course at his website JalenSmith.com, which, as we mentioned, you can find out all about the Minority Entrepreneurship Institute there and what they're doing in July. As Jalen said, go apply, get access to those funds, get the opportunity. A lot of people need it right now, and. You can also learn more about the Clear Eye View lenses, which I know everybody's been rocking lately. So we'll go get you some CEV lenses.
We got some new swag coming, man. I'll make sure I see you up here, bro.
Oh, I appreciate it. And can people buy the lenses directly on your website, or do they got to go to an outlet?
Yes. Go to CEVcollection.com or go to my website, JalenSmith.com. You click the link. Instagram, CEV Collection, @CEVcollection. We got some amazing things going on.
All right. Appreciate it, Jalen. Best of luck. And hopefully we'll be seeing you in person again soon. We won't have to do all this remote stuff.
Hi, brother. Be safe now.
Joining us now to talk a little bit about the Dak Prescott contract and those ongoing negotiations is Joel Corey. Joel writes about the NFL and salary cap matters for CBS Sports. He is a former sports agent who helped found Premier Sports and Entertainment, a sports management firm that represents professional athletes and coaches. Before his tenure at Premier, Joel worked for Management Plus Enterprises, which represented Shaquille O'Neal, Hakeem Olajuwon, and Ronnie Lott. You can follow him on Twitter at Corey Joel. Joel wrote a great piece this week about some of the discussion points surrounding Dak Prescott's contract and why it can't be boiled down to as, you know, simple as just 4 versus 5 years, or why that's a bigger difference than people realize. Joel, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. How about yourself?
I'm doing great. And I do want to lead off with that point, because a lot of us have heard about this reported 4 or 5 year disagreement that generally they've kind of come to terms on the money. But that, you know, Dak Prescott's camp, Todd France, CAA, they want a 4 year deal, and the Cowboys are looking at a 5 year deal. Why is that a bigger chasm than it sounds? Why is that 1 year such a big deal?
Well, if Todd France had his way, it would be a 3 year deal, but that was never going to happen. One of the big things is that we fully expect that there's going to be a 17th game sometime before the 2023 season, and the players' percentage of revenues goes up with the addition of 17th game. Also, TV deals expire after the 2022 season. They're going to be renewed at some point, and the expectation is that they're going to be done at a much higher rate than they currently are. So those two factors mean the cap is probably going to go up dramatically, probably 2022, beginning in 2022. So you want to get another bite of the apple as soon as possible, take advantage of the changing economic conditions. So every extra year you give up is a year that you don't get to get paid what will be the going rate once these factors come into play.
When it comes down to, you know, Dak Prescott, they had a franchise tag him. They didn't get the deal done last year after his third season. He played out the fourth year, played arguably his best football of his career, and, you know, is now looking to get paid as such. How much of a complicating factor do you think it is, or how much more difficult do you think the Cowboys made the contract structure on themselves by not having this as a four-year extension, like, you know, the Eagles and the Rams did with Goff and Wentz, where they tacked 4 years on to the two that were already there? How difficult did the Cowboys make this on themselves, having it be all new money?
Yeah, well, if you have a deal done when there's remaining years in the contract, you get better control on how you manage the cap, because if Dallas had a fifth year as opposed to just 4 years, and they could prorate a signing bonus an extra year. And what Dallas really likes to do is do longer deals than that, where they have the proration for the 5 years for the signing bonus, and if they restructure a deal for cap purposes and there's a sixth year, then you can prorate the restructure over the original 5 years of proration plus the extra year, the sixth year. So they won't have that luxury on a straight 4 year deal.
And in terms of the, you know, you talk about the cap impact and how the cap is going to continue to go up. I know you mentioned this in your article, and it's something that started to be discussed a little bit. This idea that the coronavirus pandemic and potentially lessened revenue for next year could put Dak Prescott in a bit of a precarious position if he doesn't get a deal done now. That, you know, if he's looking at free agency next year or the franchise tag next year, and revenue has gone down and thus the cap has gone down, it could be a tough sledding for him to get the deal that he wants. Do you think that provides any sort of pressure, that prospect provides any sort of pressure on Todd France and Dak Prescott to get something done now?
Well, if you're Todd France, you have to raise that issue to your client just to make him aware of it. And ultimately, they have to decide how important that potential risk is. We've seen in years where there hasn't been a huge increase in the cap, the top free agents get paid anyway. So if Dak went out and did what he did last year, then if he hit the open market because Dallas didn't want to franchise him at basically $37.7 million, I suspect he would be all right. Now, if he regressed or got hurt, that'd be a different story. But that's something they got to decide how much it's going to factor into their equation. I suspect that they're going to look at it that I'm a good enough player where it's going to be a non-issue for me. And he's really looking at it that, hey, if I can hit the open market, Kirk Cousins, I'm better than he was. Granted, the cap went up like 6-7% then, that I'm going to be just fine in that circumstance.
You know, I think it's funny. If you look back a year ago, there were pundits and fans who were, you know, saying that the Dak Prescott deal, you couldn't possibly pay this guy $30 million. Or you know, imagine the nightmare scenario of him getting the Jimmy Garoppolo deal. And, you know, this is 12, 18 months ago where skeptics were saying things like this. Now they're begging for a deal on those terms because, you know, the growth of the quarterback position in relation to the cap, it just keeps going up. the argument from a lot of people is Dak Prescott isn't the best quarterback in the league. He isn't even the second best quarterback in the league. And so he shouldn't be paid as one of the, you know, two or three highest paid players in the NFL. Do you think that's a reasonable argument, or do you think that it's just simply not how the quarterback market works and people need to adjust their expectations?
No, people need to adjust their expectations. Let's go back a little bit and I'll give you why that doesn't matter. Has Derek Carr ever been the best quarterback in the NFL? No, he was highest paid player when he signed his deal. Matthew Stafford can't win a playoff game when he signed his contract. Highest paid player in the league. Jimmy Garoppolo only had a handful of starts with the San Francisco 49ers. Became the highest paid player in the league. Kirk Cousins, up until this year, was horrible in any type of pressure situation. Became the highest paid player in the league. So that type of narrative has to go out the window, that when you are up and you are a good quarterback to great quarterback, then there's potential for you to become the highest paid player in the league. Here's one thing Dallas should be concerned about, that if between now and the July 15 deadline for franchise players to sign long-term, that Patrick Mahomes gets a deal done and he's got a four as the first digit in his average yearly salary, or Deshaun Watson does the same, because after they dramatically reset the tackle market with Laremy Tunsil in a way nobody imagined, I'm not ruling out Deshaun Watson getting there. If you have those two things in the marketplace, anything you're talking about today becomes obsolete in Todd Francis's mind, and you're going to have to account for the changing market conditions to get a deal done with Dak at that point.
If you were representing Dak Prescott, is there any way, because I know the reported guaranteed money figure has been potentially $105 million, and that would come in below Jared Goff and Carson Wentz, who were in his draft class and who just got their deals done. If you were representing Dak, is there any way you're taking a guarantee that falls below both of those players?
Not on a five, and probably not on a four either, particularly on a five, because one thing that I would want Dallas to do was, from a cash flow standpoint, do something they didn't do for Dez Bryant, DeMarcus Lawrence, their last two franchise players. Their cash flow after each year pales in comparison to the new money cash flow for Derek Carr, Matt Ryan, and Matthew Stafford when they did their five-year extensions. So the cash flow has got to be more along the lines of what happens with quarterbacks. And when you do that, then the guaranteed money is going to go up. The amount, which is going to be fully guaranteed signing, goes up, which we don't even know what it is in this offer. It's reported $106 million of guarantees and $35 million per year. But we got to assume that any deal that Dak would sign, the first 2 years are going to be fully guaranteed at signing, and the third year guarantee is going to vest at the beginning of the second year. It's going to be guaranteed for injury when you sign, but becomes fully guaranteed at the beginning of the second year of the contract. That's what happened with Dez Bryant. That's what happened with DeMarcus Lawrence. I don't know what happened with Amari Cooper. His contract isn't structured like that, and that's inexcusable given he was on the open market.
When you look at... There's been some discussion that, you know, if the Cowboys are playing it this way, they must not really want Dak Prescott, or they must have sincere questions about Dak Prescott as the guy. If you were on this side for Dak Prescott, would you interpret the way the Cowboys have handled this negotiation as doubt in Dak Prescott's abilities, or would you just look at it as this is just the game and they're playing it this way?
It's just the game that they play, because if they really had doubts about him being the guy, given you had a glut of quarterbacks this year that were available, they wouldn't have stuck the franchise tag on him at all and seen if someone would have made a huge run at him, or stuck a transition tag on him instead and had a right to match something. So obviously he's their guy. And that goes back to something Jerry said in the middle of the 2018 season when you knew he was their guy. Before they played the Falcons, Jerry unsolicitedly said he wouldn't trade Dak Prescott for two first-round picks, even if he had the first pick in the overall draft. And at the time, I'm like, if someone gave you that offer, you should go ahead and take it before they change their mind. But that shows you that they're committed to him, but this is just a negotiation game that they play. That they waited a year too late with DeMarcus Lawrence to get him under $20 million per year, because if they'd signed him on the first franchise, he didn't have Khalil Mack or Aaron Donald in the marketplace. So he's not at $21 million per year by waiting. Cost them money. Last year, Dak should have been the priority to get done at the beginning of last offseason. And then you probably are maybe you get to 30, maybe you're a little under, maybe a little over, but you're not talking the money you're going to have to pay him now.
So I guess last question for you here then, and obviously not, you know, not with you claiming any sort of insight or anything like that, but I know your projections, you're usually pretty close to the ballpark of where these deals end up. And so what would you guess when this Dak Prescott deal finally gets done? What kind of neighborhood do you think we're looking at here?
Dallas caves on the structure right around the deadline, maybe at the 11th hour. It's going to be a four. They're not going to get the fifth year. It's going to be more than Russell Wilson's $35 million per year. You know, they're probably going to exceed Jared Goff's $100 million overall guarantees. And the amount fully guaranteed at signing is probably going to come in somewhere between that $84 million that Kirk Cousins had on his three-year original deal with the Vikings and the $94.5 million that Matt Ryan has, which is the most fully guaranteed at signing in a contract today.
Joel Corey does great work for CBS Sports. He's a must follow for any contract issues. Keep up with him there and also on Twitter at Corey Joel, and Corey is spelled C-O-R-R-Y. Joel, thank you so much. We appreciate it.
Sure. Thank you. Anytime.
All right. Well, I can hear Cowboys Nation collectively gasping at the idea of that contract structure that Joel Corey just talked about at the end, his projection. I'm sure a lot of you are hoping and praying that's not the case. But, you know, you pay the quarterback. That's just the way it is. You have to pay the quarterback. You have to fork over the cash. And as we've talked about, the growth is so consistent that Dak Prescott's deal, no matter when he signs it, is going to look like a bargain in a couple of years. And so just hold tight to that idea. If you're a little worked up at the idea of Dak Prescott getting, you know, $37 million annually. But it'll be interesting to see when it gets done and what it all looks like. But great stuff from Joel Corey. Great stuff from Jalen Smith as well. On the next episode, Jane Slater will be back with us, and she will be bringing a big-time guest with her, Leighton Vander Esch. We're interviewing another Cowboys linebacker, talking about his health, his injury situation, a lot of the same sort of things that we talked about with Jalen Smith, the expectation, you know, for the season with this new coaching staff, and how they're remaining in shape during the pandemic, and talk a little bit about, you know, what he's been up to during this quarantine time when it hasn't been football. So stay tuned for that episode. I know you're really going to enjoy it. We'll talk to you then.